Father, Lord, we thank you how you've blessed us with, Lord, the video and audio equipment that you gave to us, Lord, that we have that sort of thing to have problems with, Lord, knowing that it always happens. It's unavoidable with technology, but we thank you for it. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, Lord, and just pray that you would give help and wisdom, Lord, not only to me, but to those sitting here as well, Lord, and just pray that, Lord, you would teach us by your Spirit and that you would show us Christ, Lord. Pray that you would free us, that you would help us to see that there is no one on the earth freer than your children. It is for freedom that Christ came to set us free. Lord, help us to not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage, Lord, but to live as free men. Father, just thank you. Lord, pray that you would grow us in grace and in the knowledge of you, our Father, of Christ, your Son. Lord, help us to delight in you. Amen. So the question for tonight says, my question originates from the Westminster Shorter Catechism question. And the question is, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. It says, my question is, what does it mean to enjoy God forever, or just in general, what does it mean to enjoy God? Now, I'm not going to deal with the catechism question tonight. I'm going to deal with the question he asked about it, the one that asked the question. But I will say just very briefly about asking the question, what does it mean to glorify God? So the answer is, you know, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. And I tried to think of, like, just the simplest, most practical answer that I could think of what does it mean to glorify God. And open up to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. And then once I answer this, I'm going to put the question to you and let you answer it. What does it mean to enjoy God? So 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. This was the verse that came to mind. I think to answer the question, what does it mean to glorify God? Very simply, it's to think rightly about him. Think rightly about him, who he is, and then to respond accordingly. If you think rightly about who God is and you respond accordingly, you will glorify him. Because what you do will respond with the revelation of who he is. And you will glorify him. You will honor him. You will praise him. You will worship him. You will serve him. All these things make up what it means to glorify God. But the question that was asked, what does it mean to enjoy God? How would you answer that with Scripture? I mean, the question, the catechism question is, why did God create us? What is our life supposed to be about? And the answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. If they have that right, Seems like we should know what it means. If this is our chief end, chief meaning this is what we should be aiming for above everything else in the world. We should have an answer for this. Yeah, can I get a mic runner? No, not you. You're the sound guy. Jessica.
Okay. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. It's the Christian's desire to do that. That's what our heart's fulfillment is from.
How does that, what does that have to do with enjoying him? I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just asking, what does that have to do with enjoying him? Nothing. I think you're spot on. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at how love plays into this. Anyone else? Stephen? Yeah, you're going to respond. You just can't leave. You're in a cage.
Romans 5, 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Someone's alarm or something is going off. Okay.
Yeah, so we can enjoy God through Christ.
Romans, can you read it again?
Sure. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We enjoy God through Christ, through peace, through fellowship, through learning about him and what he's done for us and the joy that that brings. Somebody who's sick, when they go see the doctor and they're healed, they enjoy that, you know, they're healed, and that's what the Lord does.
Mm.
And so, yeah.
What are some synonyms for enjoy?
Delight.
Actually, Webster's 1828 puts delight above joy and makes it greater than joy.
Mm.
What else? Some synonyms, other words that you can use in place of enjoy. You don't need the mic. You can just shout it out.
Happy.
To be happy.
Please.
To be pleased with. To rejoice, to take pleasure in, to be glad. Yeah, maybe those will help you think of some other verses. What does it mean to enjoy God? Gabriel, did you have? Gabriel Hernandez. Did you have one?
Yeah, maybe think of.
Wait for the mic.
It made me think of John 17, speaking of salvation. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In knowing God, we can enjoy him. That's just what came to mind.
Yeah. Anyone else? Turn to 1 Peter. There are so many different ways that I could answer this question. I spent, I don't know, probably a few hours just searching and reading verses that have to do with enjoying God. I mean, there's got to be thousands of verses. that have something to do with it. And I'm gonna answer it in a way that may not be the most popular way to answer it, but I think it's very, very important for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, just beginning in verse 3, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in the praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." So this is really all about how we enjoy God. Look at what it says. God has great mercy towards us. Something he's given us. He's extended mercy. He's caused us to be born again to what? To a hope, to a living hope. What's the hope? To obtain an inheritance that is imperishable, an inheritance that will never go away. We get inheritance. Children get inheritance from their parents, and no matter what it is they inherit, it's perishable. If it's money, it gets spent up. If it's a car, it breaks down. If it's a house, it grows old and becomes dilapidated, no matter what it might be. It's imperishable and it's undefiled. It can't be tainted. It can't be polluted. It can't be made any less valuable. The inheritance that he's given us, it doesn't fade away. It lasts. It's reserved. It's kept for us. It's sure. God himself is keeping this inheritance that we hope in. And we're protected by the power of God. He is our protector. He does it through faith for a salvation. He protects us for salvation. And in all of this, we greatly rejoice. We greatly delight. We greatly take pleasure. We're glad in. Even though right now there's distresses. Peter's being written to people that are suffering hardships and trials. And then you jump down to verse 8. And it says, "You love him. Though you have not seen him, you believe in him." Why do we love him? Why do we love him? Yeah, we love him because of what he's done. We love him because of what he's done. Let me ask you this. How can you know who God is apart from what he's done? How can you know who he is apart from what he's given? Yeah, 1 John 4:9, we love because he first loved us. It's how we know love. The greatest command, like Jessica said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I would say to love God is to enjoy him. There's another synonym. There's something else you can use for enjoy. Oh man, I love this. What are you saying? Oh man, I really enjoy this. I loved that movie. Oh, I really enjoyed that movie. Oh man, you know, what's your favorite restaurant? I love that place. Why do you love it? Because of the goodness of the food that is provided there. To love God is to enjoy Him. We enjoy who we love, what we love. And these are the things. He's been mercy towards us. He's given us new life, eternal life. He's given us a hope, and He keeps it. It's preserved for us. We're protected by God so that we receive this inheritance, the salvation that He's given. And in this, in that, in all of that, we enjoy God. We greatly rejoice. We're rejoicing in the goodness of God, that what He's done for us. Let me ask you this. What role should our joy in the gifts themselves, in the blessings of God, in the good things God gives, in the benefits that come from God, what role should those things play in our enjoying Him? So what role should my enjoying the good things He gives, what role should that play? Enjoying that thing He gives, what role should that play in enjoying Him? What do you think? Who's given you your children if you have children? God. Do you enjoy your children? Do you love your children? What role should that play? Loving your children play in enjoying God? What role should enjoying your children play in enjoying God? Gratitude, thankfulness. Realizing what James says, every good thing comes down from above, from the Father of lights. Where's James? Wrong way. Verse 17, James 1, 17. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Every good thing and every perfect gift is from the Father. In this case, it includes testing. It includes trials. Verse 2, consider it all joy. Enjoy it, my brethren, when you fall into various trials, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Count it all joy. Enjoy it. Be glad. Rejoice. Take pleasure in when you fall into it, because this too is a good gift of God. How in the world are trials going through trials, how does that make us enjoy God? Yeah, but what's the purpose of the trial? Why does God give trials? It proves our faith. It proves that we have faith. Trials come, where do you turn? Where do you go? Do you forget God and just, I'm going to do this, and you know, or do you turn to something else? Or do you turn to Him and say, Lord, help me, Father, help me, I need you. I need help. I need wisdom. I need endurance. I need strength. Do you turn to him? The trial becomes the catalyst for you turning to God. It's a good thing because it causes you to turn to God. It proves your faith is real. And therefore, we can enjoy him. And we should have time to get to the Psalms and see some of that. Psalms are just full. We could have spent the whole time just going through Psalms. Gratitude, the role that the gifts, the blessings, the good things that God give, your house, your car, your spouse, your children, your job, your clothing, the food you have to eat, the friends you have, this church, you can go on and on and on and on. Every good thing God gives. And it's an aid and we should be grateful to it. You have money? Do you thank God for that? Or do you feel guilty because you have money? Some people do. Some people think, I can't enjoy my money. I can't enjoy my house. I can't enjoy my car. Well, if you're doing it out of gratitude for God, that's what you're supposed to be doing. And I'm going to be talking a lot about this. I know the question is enjoying him. What does it mean to enjoy God? But apart from recognizing what he does, you can't. That's the category of lost people. Lost people don't know God. They don't enjoy him. Lost people don't realize he's the one that gives everything. They're not grateful. They can't enjoy him. They don't know the joy of salvation. They can't enjoy God as Savior. They can't enjoy the magnitude of the amazement that God gave his Son for us. They can't enjoy him. And yeah, that is the greatest thing. Is he gave his Son. And that's what brings us the greatest joy. He gave his Son for us. But if we fail to recognize the other things, yes, the lesser things, the majority of our day is spent in doing whatever it is you do. If you're at home, a homemaker, if you're at work, whatever it is you're engaged in throughout the day, in all your ways, acknowledge him and delight in him. And if you're not recognizing the good things he's giving you throughout the day, if you're not finding him in the things he's giving, you're not going to delight yourself in him. It's like when the kid gives, when you give your kids presents at birthdays and Christmas or just because. And your kids, thank you. They're grateful. And if they don't, you need to stop giving them things for a while and start taking some things away and teach them gratitude. God does that to us as well. He disciplines us. He trains us. He teaches us. We need to know what all different seasons are like, and he takes us through all different seasons. Just like Psalm 23 and the Lord is my shepherd. Read about the different places God takes the sheep. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited, but to fix their hope on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Why does God give us good things? He intends for us to enjoy them. That's why he gives them. so that we would be grateful, so that we would enjoy them, so that it would cause us to worship him, to praise him, to offer up thanksgiving to him, to share, because we want to be like he is. He gave this to me. I didn't deserve it. I want to share with other people. It's more blessed to give than receive. It's more joyful to give than receive. Makes you happier to give than receive. When your attitude is right, when you're grateful, and when you realize that God is the one that's given us things to enjoy, then enjoy them. Being grateful, giving glory to God. We need to be very careful. We don't let the Joel Osteens of this world that are focusing in on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, and saying, God just wants to bless you with money and cars and wealth. And that's what they're pursuing. That's what they're teaching. It's all about that. It's all about the money. It's all about the cars. It's all about your happiness. It's all about your pleasure. Being happy in what? In God? No. In all the stuff. We need to be careful that we recognize that the good stuff in life is given by God for us to enjoy it and give thanks to him, thereby enjoying him. Delighting in him, being grateful to him, being glad in him, finding pleasure in him. And man, look at how the Lord has just lavished goodness. There's not always stuff. But that's what I'm talking about right now. Colossians 2:7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Our disposition towards the Lord in everything, and yes, especially our salvation, especially my sins are forgiven. Oh, we ought to be the most grateful people that there are if your sins are forgiven. But don't stop there. God is infinite. Search out every good thing that he's given. First Timothy 4:4, for everything created by God is good. In this case, everything has to do with food. So he's talking about food here. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. He's talking about food, something very simple and basic. We're to be grateful. We're to be full of gratitude to God for it. Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude. How do we show gratitude? By the gratitude, we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Grateful. The role that our joy in gifts, in the stuff God gives us, the role that it should play is to make us grateful to him for his goodness and his kindness towards us. Turn to John 15. John 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. What is Christ's joy? He's kept his Father's commandments. He obeyed his Father. That's his joy. It's his delight to obey his Father. And if we abide in Christ, and if his joy obeying the Father, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What is our joy? Obeying Christ, keeping his commandments. That's our joy. That's our delight. If you are a Christian, I wish I could have had time to listen to all the sermon on Sunday. If you're a Christian, you delight in obeying Christ. Period. Stop thinking about all the times you fail him. What do you take joy? Do you take joy in failing him? Do you delight in failing him? Do you take pleasure in your sin? I want to do that again. No, why does it grieve you so much? Because you delight in obeying him. That's where your joy is. That's where you delight. That's what you delight in. You do delight in obeying him. Or you're not a Christian. Because that's what Christians do. We have the joy of Christ in us. His joy is obedience to the Father. Our joy is obedience to him. And we're one. That's why you feel so lousy when you sin. It's because your delight is in obedience. Christ's joy in keeping his Father's commands is in us when we keep Christ's commands because we love him, just as Jesus loved his Father. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Man, there's something to take joy in. It is a joyful thing when God answers prayer. And this is how we bear fruit. Look at, just chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It's synonymous. If you love Christ, you obey Christ. That's what people do that love him. We obey him. Why obey? Well, he's the Lord. He's the master. It's our position. It's our position. Just like our role, our position as creatures towards the Creator is to submit. That's our creaturely reaction. Well, it's the same with Christ, our Lord. And if we love him, because he is a person, he's a real person, and even though we've never seen him, we love him. Why? Because he's revealed himself to us. Verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. The one who has my commandments and keeps them, obeys him, is the one that loves him. And he who loves me, if we love Jesus, we will be loved by the Father. And they will disclose, I will disclose myself to him, make himself known. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. We'll abide with him, we'll dwell with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. This is how we delight in God. We obey. And it's not burdensome, John says in 1 John. We keep his commandments and they're not burdensome. The burden comes when we fail. When we fail to keep them. 1 John 2:3, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. To enjoy God is to love God. We enjoy who we love. We enjoy the things that we love. Nehemiah 8. First, Second Kings, First and Second Chronicles, Ezra, and then Nehemiah chapter 8. So this is right on the heels of Israel's come back into the land. They found the law of God, and they have stood all day reading it, as basically they preached all day long and the people were there listening. Verse 8, Nehemiah 9, verse 8. They read from the book of the law of God, translating or to give the sense so that they understood the reading. Verse 9, then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. Why did he say that? For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. Why were they doing that? Because they realized how much they had broken God's law. Remember, it had been lost. They hadn't had it for, I don't remember how long. It had been years, I believe decades, if not more. It had been gone. They hadn't heard it. They had found it and they read it, and they read from God's law, the covenant that God had entered, and they were weeping because they realized their sin and their transgression against God. And they were weeping. Then he said to them, verse 10, go eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. To delight in him and find joy and gratitude for what he has done, this is where we find strength. To delight in him. We are not strong when we're focusing on all we've done wrong, when we're focusing on our failures, and when we're just looking at ourselves and how far we fall short. But when our mind is set on Christ and the salvation he has provided, when we're delighting in the Lord for his grace, for his mercy, for his salvation, for his provision, for his kindness, his goodness, his abundant love for us, that's our strength. That's why it's not sorrow over your sin that will keep you from sin. It's delighting in the Lord. It's not being afraid of God that will keep you from sin nearly as effectively as loving him and delighting in him. And the more you recognize all the good things that he gives, and you see them and you recognize them and you're filled with gratitude, there's where your strength lies. God's given this, and you enjoy it. Well, Mark, can't we make idols out of things? Absolutely. You can make an idol out of your sorrow over your sin. You can make an idol out of reading your Bible. You can make an idol out of anything. you can make an idol out of the bronze serpent on the pole that God had them destroy because they started worshiping it instead of God. They were supposed to look to the serpent, believing God. They started looking to the bronze serpent, to the image, believing the image, trusting in the image. Yeah, you can make an idol out of anything, but not if you're grateful to God for it. Not if you're recognizing it comes from Him. This is His blessing. Man, God is so good. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved." All the people went away to do what? To eat, to drink, and to send portions, and to celebrate a great festival, because they understood the words which God, the words which had been made known to them. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Enjoying the Lord, delighting in the Lord, taking pleasure in the Lord, and you can't do that without enjoying all the good things He gives. Psalm, I'm going to go through, we're going to buzz through some Psalms here. Psalm 5. I'm going to begin, and I'm just going to read verse 7. "But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house. At your holy temple, I will bow in reverence to you." Verse 11. "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and may you shelter them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For it is you who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with a shield." What about when times are lean? What about when you don't have a lot of stuff? What about when you're going through trials? What about when you're going through hardships, difficult times? "Let all who take refuge in you be glad." To take refuge in God, to hide in Him, there's gladness, there's joy. "Let them ever sing for joy." How many times do you hear about singing in prison? Paul and Silas, Peter, different people singing in prison. You cannot stop a Christian from delighting in the Lord, no matter how horrible the circumstances. Even in Myanmar, even with bombs falling, when they're able to get together, they sing joyful songs to the Lord, seeking refuge from Him. That's a place of enjoyment. The Lord shelters them. What is the greatest shelter that you have? The greatest shelter that you have, it's everlasting life. It's everlasting life. That no matter what, Christ is mine for all eternity. Christ is mine forevermore. That's the greatest shelter that there is. "Those who love your name may exult in you." Because He sheltered us, He's caused us to be born again to a living hope. 1 Peter. "For it is you," it's God, "who blesses the righteous man, O Lord. You surround him with favor as with the shield." That's why Scripture says, don't fear men, fear God. Don't fear men who can do what? All they can do is kill your body. So what? Fear God who can cast you body and soul into hell. What can men do to you? What can circumstances do to you? The very worst thing that can happen to you is you die. And then what? No more pain, no more sorrow. There's joy. You're in the presence of Christ. You're with all the other saints that have gone before you. You're worshiping Him. Everything else is behind you. Oh, how pitiful it is to die. I know I've mentioned it before. Go look it up. It's in The Lord of the Rings and the final battle there, and he's talking to one of the hobbits and he's describing it's just fiction, but it's glorious because it's based on heaven. What is it like to die? Oh, it's far shores. It's a glorious sunset. It's a glorious sunrise. It's just beautiful, and it's just, man, that's what it is, forever with the Lord. You know the only bad part about it? You're going to have to wait for the resurrection to fully enjoy it. When we're gone, we're in paradise. The moment you die, we're in paradise. But there's something better than paradise. New heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells, where Christ is Lord and He reigns on the earth, and all the saints are there, and there is no more sin, there is no more sorrow, there is no more sadness. There's nothing but what? Enjoying God in everything He's given. See, that's why I'm focusing on things and stuff. These are things we handle all day long, we see all day long, we come in contact with all day long. And if you recognize it, these are conduits to worship. These are conduits. Go out. I was talking to someone in nature. At the men's retreat, I love getting out into nature, don't you? Why? Because you're away from the things man has made. And you're out in the middle of what God has made. To go out in nature, it's screaming glory. It's declaring the glory of God. So I love the stars. I love things that have to do with space and the galaxies and all the farther they explore. And it cracks me up that they think they're getting closer to explaining away God. And all that happens is, oh, look. No, God made it all after all. And the vastness and the magnitude of it and what? And He's the only one that gets to see it. The little bit that we get to see through telescopes and things, it's nothing. It's nothing compared to the magnitude of... It makes me worship God. To enjoy nature, to enjoy the beauty and plants and in beaches and mountains and animals. And it makes me worship God. Why? Because I recognize Him and that this is what He's done. And man, how marvelous is He? How glorious is He? And as I'm enjoying what He has done, I'm enjoying Him. Psalm 16. I'm just going to skip through here. Maybe. Verse 1, preserve me, O God. Why? For I take refuge in You. I said to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good besides You. There's a recognition of goods. There's a recognition of good there. I have no good besides You. What's the good? It's him. As for the saints who are in the earth, they are the majestic ones in whom is all my delight. It's how he said that the world will know we're his out of our love for one another. We're delighting in one another, loving the saints. Verse 5, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup, or my blessing, cup of blessing. You support my lot. He's the source of his lot. He's the source of our portion. It comes from him. Verse 8, I have set the Lord continually before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. Why? Because the Lord is near, because he's my strength. He's at my right hand. The right hand is the place of strength. Verse 11, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We're talking about the resurrection last time, and that how, if there is no resurrection, if there is no inheritance, if there is nothing coming, then we're fools to continue worshiping God. If the only pleasure to be had is now in this life, then we should be enjoying the pleasures of this life. But that's not what the Christian does. The Christian denies himself, doesn't love the world or the things that are in the world and all that's passing away, because we're looking for new heavens and new earth. Because we're living for the pleasure that comes from being in the presence of the Lord forever, seeing him face to face, eyeball to eyeball, hugging his neck, touching him. All the pleasures that are there. Psalm 21. Verse 1, O Lord, in your strength, the king will be glad. In your salvation, how greatly he will rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire. There's grace. Given him his heart's desire. You have not withheld the request of his lips. There's answered prayer. For you meet him with the blessings of good things. There's the stuff. There's gifts from God. What is this that he's referring to specifically? You set a crown of fine gold on his head. He's given him the throne. It's the throne of David. He's recognizing that God is the one that has enthroned him as king of Israel. He asks life of you. You gave it to him abundantly. What kind of life? Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you place upon him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him joyful. How? With gladness in your presence. The presence of the Lord. Saints, don't you know your body is the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? His presence is with you always. He will never leave you or forsake you. That's a place of enjoying him. He's with us always. 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 51. For the choir director, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. This is the psalm of David's confession and also where he finds strength. He finds joy in forgiveness and in salvation. 7, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. He's looking forward to this. Saints, we're looking back at it. Christ has already done this. This is what he's done. This is why we can delight in the Lord, because our sins have been forgiven. They have been blotted out. He does not hold them against us. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit in me. He's lost it. Why? Because of his sin, because he wasn't obeying. He wasn't obedient to the Lord. He sinned. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. How do we relate to that? Well, I think what he's talking about is he is God's anointed. Kings were anointed by God. And he's saying, don't take the throne from me. I believe that is what he's referring to. Don't take your Holy Spirit. Don't take the anointing that you've given me. The position of king. David delighted in being king. We just read that. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with the willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Saints, believe the gospel. Confess your sin, forget about it, and go on. Believe the gospel. Don't hold on to it and mourn it like some penance, like I've got to have the right amount of sorrow for this if I don't feel bad enough. No, you need to believe. You need to believe the gospel. It's gone. Confess it. Confess it and believe. You're cleansed. You are clean. Go. Serve him. Rejoice. Be glad. Be happy. Go delight in him. He accepts you. Don't be like Adam. Don't go run and hide. Run out into his presence just as you are. Confessing it and going on. Don't wallow in it. Psalm 59:16, but as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning. 4, because you have been my stronghold and refuge in the day of my distress. Again, joy is not just in times of abundance and good things and the stuff I'm talking about. Joy is in the time of distress. The only reason why you lose joy in trials and when things get hard is because you stop being grateful for the good things God has given you. And if you have nothing else but eternal life, the forgiveness of sins and inheritance, the Spirit of God dwelling in you, the promise of new heavens and new earth, if that's all you have, then I'm sorry, you're left with the best. That's it. My sins are forgiven. We're not raised to judgment, we're raised to life. Even in the worst of times, in the worst of conditions, there can be joy unspeakable and full of gladness in the presence of the Lord. There is no outward circumstance of this world, of this creation, of this thing that can be a shield to keep God away from you, his presence there. The only thing that can do that is your unbelief. I won't read the rest of them. What does it mean to enjoy God? It means Him personally, all that. He's made His Spirit dwell in us. He's given us all of these promises, and He can't lie. He's with us. He's given us His people, the church. Every good thing you have, He's given. Recognize it and be grateful. And you will be delighting in Him. You will delight in Him. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. He's given us every good thing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He has not withheld one good thing from us. I don't see it. So what? He said He did. Trust Him, believe Him. But I'm going through so much. Yeah. And that's for your good also. Let it lead you to gratitude, not despair, gratitude for what you do have. And most of all, you have eternal life, life everlasting. You know God, you know Christ, you know the gospel. You know what that means. There's only good coming. All the goodness here is nothing. Nothing compared to what's coming. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness, for Your mercy, Your grace. Thank You for Christ. Father, thank You for making the gospel known to us. Thank You for saying that one's mine and coming after us. And even when we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were against You, we were Your enemies. You were for us and You saved us. Lord, You came and You opened our blind eyes to the truth of who You are, who Christ is, what this salvation that He offers is all about. Lord, You opened up our deaf ears to hear Your voice, to hear from You, to hear about Your promises. Lord, You opened up our minds to believe and to trust. You opened our hearts up to trust You, to love You. You've done it all. You've done it all, Lord. Just thank You for such a wonderful salvation. Thank You that there is so much that we can delight in. Help us to grow. Lord, help us to delight in You more. In Christ's name, amen.